Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Discovering the Real I Am radio broadcast. Discover biblical truth and how biblical prophecy is coming alive in today's headlines. Get ready to embark on deep and in-depth Bible teaching. Welcome your radio host, Bible teacher, and student of the Lord Jesus Christ, Joseph P.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the July 3rd, 2015 in Sons of God Part 2 series. And today we will be discussing the Sons of God and continuation of last week's program. But first off, I'd like to start off with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. We give you all praise and all glory, Lord. Lord Jesus, we ask that you touch everyone that hears this word, Lord. Lord, that they digest it. Lord Jesus, and we ask that you just act on that act of enabling people to just go out and praise you and win souls, Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word, and Lord, let only you speak through this microphone today. In Jesus' name we pray for the forgiveness of our sins. Amen and amen. Let's waste no time. Let's get back where we left off last week. We stated that the reason for the flood was, and now we would like to go on, why would God allow the Nephilim DNA to make it through the flood? The angels who sinned pre-flood were chained and cast into hell's darkest pits until the day of judgment. 2 Peter 2:2-4 says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." So if the angels are bound in chains, how are their giants, a.k.a. the Nephilim, here on earth after Noah and his family survived the flood? Well, we must look at Noah's sons. What is interesting is that Canaan, of Ham's three sons, was cursed. Why? Why is Ham pointed out as the father of Canaan? It is possible that Canaan was already showing the appearance of being part of the Nephilim. This is not stated in Scripture, but we will see a similar distinction made for another infamous person, or should we say hybrid, in the Bible known as Nimrod. What we can know with certainty is that from the lineage of Ham, we found the reinsurgence of the Nephilim giants. The lineage of the post-flood giants can be traced specifically to three of Ham's sons, Cush, Mizraim, and finally Canaan. The Bible is full of lineages that we should all take heed that they hold significance in bettering our understanding of Scripture. The first grandson of Ham who received special designation in Genesis 10 is King Nimrod. Let us jump to Genesis 10, 6 through 12. "And the sons of Ham, Cush, Mizraim, and Phut, and Canaan, and the sons of Cush, Seba, Havilah, and Seba, and Rama, and Sephtek, and sons of Rama, Sheba, and Dedan. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherever it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Enerech, and Akkasad, and Kalina, in the land of Shinar. Out of the land went Asher, and builded Nineveh, and the city of Rebenath, and Calaiah, and Rezin, between Nineveh and Calaiah, the same as great city. Nimrod was the first murderer and conqueror after the flood." Now, I might have murdered all those names, but bear with me here. Nimrod was the founder of the city of Babylon, which became a center of pagan, satanic idolatry. Much of it with various versions of Nimrod himself being worshipped as God. His name, which means to rebel or let us rebel, indicates his temperament. He was an enemy of God, and at that time was Satan's main servant here on earth. He is credited leading the effort to build the Tower of Babel, a portal-wielding device used to access the angelic realm through the stargates. And we see this happening at CERN, and I want to get that in later program here with my brother. But this Tower of Babel. Everyone thinks it was just this tower that went skyrocketed in the air. Well, that's not the case. They were building the Stargate. And what we see with CERN is they're this particle collider, and they're trying to replicate that. And like I said, we'll go in detail later program. But this is what he was doing. When it says they put all their knowledge together, they could do anything. They are one, they knew what they were doing, they had advanced knowledge, which was from the fallen angel DNA, that they had advanced knowledge, they knew what they were doing, and Nimrod built this Stargate. Well, this Stargate here wants to open a portal so he can enter heaven, where he is God, and the Lord put a stop to that. The Tower of Babel was also the first attempt at a global government, and it was led by Nimrod in an attempt for man to reach the spiritual realm and godhood without the Lord, to which God swiftly responded by destroying the tower, confusing the languages of all the people of the world, and scattering them everywhere. We will discuss Nimrod in another program, like I said before, to get more detailed look on what exactly this person was, what this tower actually did, and how we can see it replicating today. Okay, now let's continue. Was Nimrod grandson of Ham, possibly a Nephilim? It is interesting to note that in Genesis 10:8 states that Nimrod began a mighty one on earth. The term mighty one, Gibberim, is the same Hebrew phrase used the Nephilim giants in chapter 6 of Genesis, who were mighty men. It is also the same term used to describe the giant Goliath in 1 Samuel. Matthew Henry's Bible commentary on this passage states that which is observable and improvable in these verses is the account here given of Nimrod. He is here represented as a great man in his day. He began to be a mighty one in earth. That is, whereas those that went before him were content to stand upon the same level with their neighbors, and through every man bore rule in his own house, yet no man pretended any further. Nimrod's aspiring mind could not rest here. He was resolved to tower above his neighbors, not only to be eminent among them, but to lord over them. The same spirit that actuated the giants before the flood, who became mighty men, and men of renown, in chapter 6:4, now revived in him. So soon was that tremendous judgment which the pride and tyranny of those mighty men brought upon the world forgotten. The final piece of evidence to consider is that in the Septuagint, the oldest version of the Old Testament, the same verse from Genesis reads, and I quote, "And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a giant upon the earth. He was a giant hunter before the Lord God. Therefore, they say, as Nimrod, the giant hunter before the Lord." Genesis 10:8-9. Nimrod, the grandson of Ham, was transformed into a giant. This would not only be the only time a human king was transferred into a different creature. Please note that in Daniel 4, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon was literally transformed into a beast that lived as an animal for 7 years. And this was the pronouncement of the Watchers and the Holy Ones, the type of angels that are named as being involved in Genesis 6, illicit relations, extra-biblical texts like the Book of Enoch. Satan, who has constantly sought to stop God's plans and destroy the souls of humanity, used a select group of angels to interbreed with human women and try to crop the human DNA. By altering humanity from being no longer fully human, Satan could ensure that pure human Messiah would never be born. So to counter Satan's attack, God sent the global flood judgment to punish those angels who committed folly, destroy the Nephilim, and save the existence of the human race. And it wasn't just always the DNA. This is where I differ from people with the angelic view of this, He wanted to destroy all evil, not just the bloodline, that's important too, but you have to remember homosexuality was going on at that time. You had to remember that men's hearts were evil continually. They were just evil people. They wanted to rape everybody. I mean, it was a total disaster of a of your ancestors that just totally were evil, totally against God. And this is one of the main reasons why God destroyed it. Was the angelic view, was because the DNA was corrupted, but also those things too. And we see that today, don't we? We see that sin is being promoted like no other. We see that God's covenants are breaking. We just need to repent and turn away. Amen? So let's continue. The flood ensured the Messianic bloodline was preserved so that we could have a chance to go to heaven. It was an act of love and mercy on God's part to save the people who had rejected him to follow Satan's minions and give their God-given powers. The bloodline of the Nephilim after the flood can clearly be traced back to Ham, Noah's evil son who brought a curse upon his own child, Canaan. Now you may be thinking, how is this relevant today? Why should I even know this? Why do I even bother? Well, let's go to Scripture to find out. Let's jump to Luke 17:26. And it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the Son of Man. So we see that Jesus was telling us what to look for in the last days. We see now that in that these days, people have a fascination with DNA manipulation. We see it when scientists do experiments, when splicing the DNA of monkeys with humans, or goats with spider genes, where they made that goat have spider milk that produced this silk stuff out of its milk. And this is one of the reasons why God used the flood to destroy the world. Not only do we see that God's covenants are being broken among the masses, we also see earthquakes, famines as well. We are finally seeing what Jesus refers to as the great falling away. Intercession must rise for people to have eyes to see, not being ignorant of the delusion that is coming. The Lord ever lives to make intercession for the saints. There are many, many more people caught up in religion than from the true gospel, which has power in it. They're glorifying man rather than trying to glorify God. Amen. They need intercession that will strike the mark, awakening their hearts to God. Many will be deceived, but not those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Jesus promised that if his words abide in us, that he would abide in us. Amen. We must really take a look at this. The reason why it's so promised today is he said that in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And what was going on? We had marriage, giving in marriage. Do I even have to reference what happened this week? We see nation arise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Well, you had all these people pre-flood that were given in DNA manipulation with the angels and stuff like that. Then we also see where you had people battling against one another and men's hearts were evil continually. Do I think it is as bad as then? It's getting close. And we just really, really need to pray for our brothers and sisters, especially the ones overseas that are getting their heads chopped off. And we really, really need to pray for them, make intercession for them to keep them safe. And what we need to do is get out there and win the loss to Jesus Christ. Amen? Pretty much what it boils down to is this is so important to recognize the signs and times we're living in. And in here in a minute, we'll get in the clips of what's going on and how this is really taking hold in today's society. What we really, really need to do is know that everything in the Bible is relevant for today. People like to pick and choose what they want out of it. Of course, then you have the people bringing up the Levitical laws with don't eat shellfish or, you know, don't eat pork, even though the Lord said everything is made clean. Amen. You know, and they try to pick and choose that to justify their own sin. Well, what they have to remember is it went from God's moral law to the Levitical rabbinical laws, which there was whole bunch of those, like 400 or 600 or something. And then when Jesus came and died, it went back to the original moral law, not negating, you know, everything happened, but it goes back to being free. Free in Jesus Christ, amen. So don't let anybody use the excuse, like, to justify their sin, they pick and choose something of the Levitical laws. Well, one, we're not under the law anymore, amen. We're under grace. Don't abuse grace, but we're under grace. And we go back to the moral law, and you can explain to them this. They probably won't get it, but this is for you to understand that you don't have to be caught in a corner when they pose that argument to you. I could go into more about the Nephilim, Nimrod, the hybrid thing, the DNA and stuff, but I really wanted to hammer down the sons of God. I know we touched on all these points, but really, basically, this message is for what are we seeing today? You know, why is this relevant? Why is the sons of God so important to understand? You wouldn't understand hardly anything if you didn't research the past, and it doesn't mean live your past. That's not what I'm saying. I said what you need to do is research the past, learn from it, so you don't make the same mistakes again. You know, even though man obviously don't do it because history repeats itself every time. But really, we need to be looking at what was it in the days of Noah, and we see that there was the genetic manipulation and everything else that I talked about. So we see that it's coming full circle again. It's really starting to amp up here, and we really need to be prepared. We need to be aware of what's going on. And the Lord said, "My people perish from the lack of knowledge." Well, we need to gain knowledge by reading the Word, and only the Word of God, not what some man says, not what the news says. You need to see, hey, this is what the Lord said. I believe it because this is the inspired Word of God. This is what's preserved. Yes, there might be translations that have taken things out or misplaced something, but if you go back to the original Hebrew and the original stuff which you have access, there's no excuse anymore. You can go to Blue Letter Bible, look at the Greek lexicon. You can do everything you could to study. You are without excuse now. So get in your Word, study it, look up what things mean if you don't understand, or you wonder why God did something that you don't understand. Pray about it first, but look at the original meaning. You really can find out a lot of things what he actually meant for that time by going back to the original language to learn and study to see exactly what he was saying. And then it makes more sense. But we, you know, with this, we really got to know what's going on. We are living in the end times. And like I said, we're going to look at clips stating what has been happening in the world. So in conclusion of this message, the sons of God were indeed fallen angels that served Satan and their own selves. They were full of their own lusts. They were prideful, just like Satan. They thought they could do what the heck they wanted. So it goes to show you, angels do, or at one point did have free will. A third of them chose to go with Satan. And I believe they really thought they could overthrow the Lord. You have to be pretty prideful to blind you to that one. Anyways, they fell. They had children with the daughters of men to destroy the lineage of Jesus. Today, we see that we are nearing the end times, just like the Bible said. We need to take a stand against sin, and as long as we are here, fight for Jesus. Amen. The Lord has not come yet because there are more people who haven't heard or have ever seen the gospel. Just remember, the person you talk to, and I really mean this, that you're about to talk to could be the person that sets off the chain of events that sparked the rapture of his bride. This is an amazing thought. Everyone will have a choice to either accept or deny him, so no man will be without excuse. The board is almost set, and it's time to get ready. I've been hearing for a while now that we need to get ready. Well, I'm here to tell you the truth, that you should already be ready, amen? This is for the time of great harvest, but the laborers are few. Let's win souls for Jesus. This is what we're supposed to do. I also hear people saying that they want Jesus to come back right now. Well, if you want him to come and rapture us out of here, start winning souls. Like I said before, he's coming back when the last person has heard the gospel. Not before, not later. The last one is going to get saved. Amen. That's our goal in here. And people are not getting that. They just want to escape out of here. They're just worried about themselves. And I'm like, you're the ones that are lukewarm. Forgive me, but that's the truth. You want to win souls, so you don't want to see anybody go to hell. Let's pull up your bootstraps and get to work. We, as Christians, have been way too lazy waiting for the Lord to come back while forgetting there are many fellow brothers and sisters dying and who are hurting and suffering for the sake of the gospel. We know Pastor Saeed in Iran is going through persecution. We have Brother Kent Hovind that's here in America that has been persecuted for speaking out against the mainstream. Look him up. I know you probably heard of him, but really look at his situation. It's not just the taxes. They really want to bury this guy. And poor Pastor Saeed, he's getting tortured, beat up. God only knows what. Pray for that man. We need a leader to stand up and say, hey, we want this man back, and we're going to take him. Do we have that? No, we have a Muslim in chief. Pray for our nation. So we see the persecution is already here. And with this passing of the law, we're going to see more and more persecution. And then I hear atheists or the left say that, oh, here's the Christians claiming persecution again. Well, I tell you what, the Bible says we shall suffer persecution. It's going to happen. So yes, I'm going to cry persecution because that's what's going to happen. We don't know how long in the sorrows we're going to go before we're raptured. We really don't. The Lord didn't give a timetable on it. And like I said, it all depends on us whether or not we get out there and win souls for Christ. I'm going to leave this message off with this. Love one another and do not compromise what the Lord has said. Do everything in love and bless the ones who persecute you. Forgive anyone that offends you or hurts you. Let's be lights for Jesus. Let us be ambassadors for Christ. And let us become who we are born to be. Amen. So after this quick break, we are going to come back. We're going to look at today's headlines. How are they correlated with biblical prophecy? And how this has to do with the sons of God. How this is happening again. We're going to really try to look at the headlines, and we'll be right back. God bless.
Hello, this is Joe, and I'm one of your hosts at Seeking the I Am Radio program, and I'm here to tell you all about the Seeking I Am Ministries. Seeking I Am Ministries is the place to hear all about the gospel, today's headlines, and how they are correlated with biblical prophecy. Make sure to check out our information about our radio program and upcoming showtimes at our website at www.seekingiamministries.wix.com/seekingiam. Also, check out every single podcast right from the beginning of our show so you won't miss any information we talk about. The website again is www.seekingiamministries.wix.com/seekingiam.
We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe. So, let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we sing. And in our weakness and temptations, we believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe. Father, we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back. He's coming back again.
Into the news here, and our first news clip is, if you haven't heard about the Star of Bethlehem and these two stars, or not stars, but planets, Jupiter and Venus, moving together and merging into this one, to us, looks like a superstar. They claim that this was the Star of Bethlehem, which is very interesting. And this man called Fire Charger on YouTube, he does a lot of biblical stuff. Look it up, and he's very credible. And he goes into what's been going on. It's very interesting with that and with the gay marriage thing. This clip's about, it's pretty lengthy, but he goes into exactly what's been going on, and he puts it really good. And that's why I wanted him to explain it. And here's the short clip. Take a listen.
Hey YouTube, I find this bizarre. I actually just fired up my computer to record this video, and I look at the time, and it's 9:23. This is the date that everybody's looking at. I don't proclaim it as, the day of rapture or day of World War III, but again, everything is pointing to it. You should know by now that there is the blood moon that happens in September. The Shemitah cycle ends, the Jubilee cycle begins, so many things. the most recent being that the Star of Bethlehem is making its return after 2,000 years. I was looking at there's a program called Stellarium where you can look at the stars, and it's all very mathematical, so you can look at stuff accurately, easily, 2,000 years ago. And I was looking at this stuff, and what's interesting is that the Star of Bethlehem, I believe, was a conjunction of Jupiter and Venus in the constellation Leo. Now, Jupiter is called the king planet, Regulus, I believe, is called the king star, and Leo is Leo the lion, representing Jesus, the lion of the tribe of Judah. So this is three references to king and Jesus, and, several times today I opened my Bible to Luke 21, and this is specifically what I was thinking of. Everybody knows nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues, into prisons. I think there was a different part that I was looking for. Over here in verse 25. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift your heads, for your redemption draws near. There's a video here by Nemesis Maturity that I'll leave in the links box that kind of lays out a little bit more about the Star of Bethlehem. But do not miss this. This is going to be in 2 days from the making of this video on June 30th. I might need to find some more details on that, but if you consider this, we're in a lunar tetrad right now. We've already seen the first three blood moons, and we're approaching the fourth. And, the Bible says that the sun will be turned to darkness, the moon will be turned to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. There were solar eclipses on the first day of the Jewish New Year, on the first day of the Jewish, I think, religious New Year and the civil New Year, because they go by two different calendars. But this is incredibly significant. We already had the tetrad to start with, and then I just discovered this thing about the Star of Bethlehem. I mean, what more do you need as a sign? Specifically, why I turned on the camera was because just the other day, the gay marriage law was passed, where it makes gay marriage illegal throughout the United States. And, just a few points. I posted some things on my Facebook where, what happens when a country gets conquered? The conquering army, the one that comes in to conquer and invade, they put up their flag. And, what happened on the day that the law was passed? They tore down the Confederate flag, and they were waving the gay pride flag. They put the rainbow on the White House. And specifically what I noticed about the rainbow on the White House was that the rainbow was only visible and intensifying, representing gay pride, that version of the rainbow. It was only visible and intensifying as the darkness grew, as the darkness increased. So there's definitely a prophetic significance there where the darkness increases, and so does this gay pride thing. But here's the most recent. I just saw a video. I've seen articles where there was some sort of party, I believe, in Taiwan, and the liberal news in America left out part of the story. From what I've read, this was a gay pride event where some smoke was, blown out as a visual effect. It was like a colored smoke, and then a spark hit it, and it lit on fire. I mean, if that is not a visual representation of Sodom and Gomorrah, I don't know what is. Because when this gay law thing passed yesterday, everybody was talking about Luke 17. You know, in Luke 17, I would hope that you're familiar with this. It says that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, and until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And what was just brought to my memory right now is that others have brought this verse to my attention. You know, so I'm not taking credit for any of this stuff. Most of what I'm sharing with you has been brought to me by somebody else. But, you know, I'd imagine that if you're watching my video, it's because you want information. Isaiah 3 in verse 8. For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. Now pay attention here. This is King James, so bear with me. The shoe of their countenance doth witness against them, meaning the look upon their faces does witness against them. They declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. So, you know, they parade their sin. You know, how accurate is that a gay pride parade? You know, they're parading their sin. You know, they're just marching around in their pride proclaiming you know, their sin. And you know, that's another verse. It's in Proverbs. It says, you know, pride comes before a fall, and you know, haughtiness before destruction, that sort of thing. So, you know, look at this video from this concert where these people were ignited in fire. It looks like hell. You know, the Christian message to the LGBT community is not one of hate. It's one of warning. It's one of, hey, you are doing what provokes God. You are doing what God considers an abomination, and he loves you, but there is consequence for sin. You know, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we don't just target the gay community to say, hey, you're all going to hell. No, what we're saying is that this sin especially angers God to the point of where he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah had other sins as listed in Ezekiel 16. You know, pride, idleness, abundance of bread, not helping the hand of the poor and needy, that sort of thing. But homosexuality is an abomination in God's eyes. You know, read Romans 1. It talks about men sleeping with men and even women giving up the natural use, and that they're given over to a reprobate mind. You know, so it's a very serious sin, but the Christian message to the LGBT community is not one of hate. It is one of, you know, you're walking in the wrong identity. You need to understand that sin is sin, yes. You know, some people elevate the homosexuality thing, saying that, well, this is worse than other things. You know, I made a video saying that I believe it's more dangerous because the Bible specifically says that it leads to a reprobate mind. But you need to understand that the gospel is for everyone. Jesus loves, you know, people that have gay identity issues and things like that. You know, he died on the cross for your sins just as much as he died for mine. You know, I was an alcoholic. I dealt with depression. I had, you know, my own laundry list of sins. But the gospel is for everyone, you know. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. You know, it's his will for you to have life and life abundant. And, you know, the White House was tweeting all this stuff like love wins and, you know, this is a whole different topic, but only the Antichrist could be on Twitter and Facebook and the news and everything else celebrating a victory for gay marriage and then be in the pulpit of a church, you know, the South Carolina church where those 9 people were murdered. He was in the pulpit of that church on the very same day singing Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Only the Antichrist could do such a thing, you know? Celebrating gay marriage and yet being in the pulpit of a church, you know? 10-20 years ago, there's no way that stuff would have flown. You know, so I'm just trying to bring this stuff to your attention, and I hope that someone that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ takes these things seriously and understands that this is absolutely the end times, that Jesus Christ is coming very soon, and that the signs are so abundant and so clear that this is unmistakable. When I found out that the Star of Bethlehem was going to be in the sky for the first time in 2,000 years, I had no such knowledge that this was going to occur again. I thought it was a one-time event for when Jesus Christ was born. You know, but I have an article here that, you know, gives some details on it, and I'll put that in the links. But, you know, there's also scripture that signifies that it could, you know, be a sign of the second coming also. The Bible talks about, you know, they'll see the sign of the Son of Man. What sign in the sky has there been previously that proclaimed the coming of the Son of Man? It was the Star of Bethlehem, you know? And this is coming again during a lunar tetrad. Mind blown, right? But, you know, people have to understand that, yes, God is love, but, you know, God is also severe. There's a verse... I don't remember exactly where it is at the moment. It's either John 5 or John 8, I believe. But it says that he who believes on the Son of God will be saved, but he who does not believe on the Son of God, you know, the wrath of God abides upon him. You know, that's clear cut. You know, Jesus loves everybody, but if you don't accept the gospel, you know, you don't come under that protection of the blood of the Lamb. That's all there is to it. So, you know, with that, I just say, take this very seriously, prepare your house, and I do believe that every day that we progress towards September, it looks more and more like the real deal, you know. It looks like this is really something incredibly major, you know. And if it's the rapture, I don't know, but, you know, if it's World War III, I don't know. If it's they'll say peace and safety and then sudden destruction, you would be foolish to not be prepared. That's all I've got to say. Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, he died for our sins, raised from the dead, and he conquered the devil on the cross. He was whipped for our healing. And, you know, without him, there is no salvation. There is no other way to heaven. There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. So, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. Verse 11. And anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall not be ashamed. I'm kind of going off memory here, but take this seriously. All right? God bless.
Yes, after hearing all that, we know that the signs of times are coming. Yes, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. But yeah, he did a good job explaining a lot. You know, and what I've found too is that not only is this stuff happening, but I got another article here, Tom DeLay, and this is endtimesheadlines.org. And the Justice Department wants to legalize 12 perversions. And when I read that, I was taken back. I'm like, really? And it says, former U.S. House Majority Leader Tom DeLay claims the Justice Department has drafted a memo that spells out a dozen perversions. And here's a short clip on exactly him talking about it and what's in it. Take a listen.
Well, we've already found a secret memo coming out of the Justice Department. They're now going to go after 12 new perversions, things like bestiality, polygamy, having sex with little boys and making that legal. And not only that, but they have a whole list of strategies to go after the churches, the pastors, and any businesses that tries to assert their religious liberty. This is coming, and it's coming like a tidal wave.
All right, so Congressman, I just want to get this straight. So you are aware of a Justice Department memo where that says there will be an effort to legitimize or legalize bestiality, pedophilia, and, as you put it, perversions?
That's correct. That's correct. They're coming down with 12 new perversions. The LGBT just isn't is only the beginning. They're going to start expanding it to the other perversions.
All right. Well, nothing anymore would surprise me. Absolutely nothing would surprise me.
So we see that. That is just the beginning, what happened at the Supreme Court there. We knew it was. We knew it was coming. But do you think anyone would listen to the harbingers that everyone's been saying for years now? No. You know, they took their eyes off God and they put them on themselves, which, you know, gets you in trouble every time. So I'd like to say this again, that my brother, Perry Stone, released alert today. I'm not sure when it was, but it was today. And it states, America's experiencing the worst lightning and rain in some areas that are called historic. The name Barak in Islam was the name of Muhammad's white stallion, meaning lightning. On June 26, President Barak said the court's decision came like thunder and lightning, a positive metaphor according to him. After this decision, immediately storm cells began forming from coast to coast. The rainbow is a national gay symbol. However, the rainbow was a sign of God's covenant with Noah that God would withhold the rain from destroying the earth. Not only has the nation broken the marriage covenant, but now the people of Sodom have used heavenly covenant symbol that God reserved as a sign for protection from the elements. See Genesis 8. The heavens are rumbling. Cleveland is marked for 10 days of lightning and rain, as well as other parts of the nation. It rains on the just and unjust. Even Satan, as lightning fell from heaven, Luke 10:18-19, Paul wrote about this iniquity, men with men, in Romans 1, saying, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, indicating negative cosmic activity, which would include parallels with Noah's flood when the rain fell and the fountains of the deep were open. This is an imagery of excessive rain and tsunamis caused by earthquakes in the oceans deep or the sea. Only a remnant discerns the times, as the most Americans do not care or choose to ignore it. Watch from now to the end of September and observe the events we enter in the days of Lot. Luke warned of, ministers as myself, which is Perry Stone speaking, are being mocked for speaking out, but God knows I will not keep silent. Post this to your Christian friends. These are simply prophetic patterns and parallels. Amen. So we see, I mean, there's countless, I'm telling you, there's countless of things showing what times we are living in. If you didn't know Jesus, I'd be scared. But praise the Lord that he's with us. He's given us peace beyond all understanding. And, you know, we just see the perilous times that's coming. And all these things are not just mere coincidences. Don't blow it off like, you know, it don't matter or it's just some random circumstance. All these things are lining up. All these things are happening at one time. They're really converging on this one point. These are the birth pains. we're entering in the birth pains. Like I said, we don't know how long we're going to be in it, but really, really look to the fall. And as we said last week, last Friday, that look to the fall feast. We have the Feast of Trumpets, you know, coming up. That does deal with the rapture, in my opinion. And you can also see these things, and like Brother Fire Charger said, we're not putting dates on anything because no one knows the day or the hour. But it doesn't say we will not know the season. So we will know the season. We know the times are getting short. What we got to do is discern and react to it. Now, here's another interesting tidbit. Only the remnant's going to understand what's going on. The ones that are hot for the Lord will understand what's going on. You're seeing, with what I see with this gay marriage and everything else going on, it's weeding the lukewarm from the hot. It's weeding out the ones that are just on the fence. It's time that people take a stand, and the Lord's drawing people out, the ones that are truly His, and drawing them to the principles, and taking the ones that are lukewarm and casting them aside. He said, "If I'd rather you be hot or cold than to be lukewarm." He'll spit you right out of His mouth. He'll vomit you out of His mouth, is what it says in the Hebrew. I would not want to be in your shoes. And the whole purpose is to show you that the things that happened in Genesis, the same things are reoccurring again. Everything that's happened is happening again. There's nothing new under the sun. Even the technology, if you look at it hard enough, they have depictions of different technological things, but you know what? It's happening again. And it's a shame, but it's happening again. It repeats itself. But we know the Lord's coming back. Amen. And that's what we need to be focused on. I don't care if you're pre, post, or mid. We just need to get right with Jesus no matter what. And if you want to get out of here, be an overcomer. That's what we're supposed to do. If you really want to get out of here, be an overcomer. You can't be lukewarm. You can't be semi-hot. You got to be all the way hot or all the way cold. If you're cold, you're not making it anyway. So just be hot, amen. So we thank you for listening to this program. I'd like to end it with a song. So I'd just like to thank everyone that's listening. I like to say that we just need to get right with the Lord and look up for your redemption, Charles Knight. Amen. So remember to check us back. My sister Cheryl is going to be speaking here on July 8, 2015. And she's going to be speaking 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 2:30 Eastern. And be blessed.
Stoplight, can't be bothered by the heart cry written on the cardboard in her hands. Oh, but when she looks him in the eye, his heart is broken open wide, and he feels the hand of God reach out through him. As heaven touches earth, oh, 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 we bring the kingdom come. Locked and deep inside. Oh, but her one-
the kingdom come.